Well, good morning, Sarnia EMC. It's a privilege for me to be with you today in worship. Wherever you're participating from today, I trust you're just completely comfortable and you've got a favorite beverage on hand and you're with some amazing people, or maybe you're alone, but isn't it great that we can engage together in this way? And this will be one of the last Sundays that we're doing this in this format online. And I wish that I could be with you in person, but I'm grateful to be able to share this service together today. I'd like you to open, if you've got a copy of the scriptures handy, I'd like you to open to Philippians chapter 3. And just while you're navigating to that passage, a little bit of background. The city of Philippi was a colony that was filled with retired Roman soldiers. And Paul, as a chief apostle and the author of this letter, was joined by Timothy and Silas, and immediately after receiving a vision of a man begging, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," you can see that story in Acts chapter 16, they got up and went. And Paul and his companions actually helped many people here know and follow Jesus. The Philippians became Paul's friends and supporters for the rest of his life. So flash forward, Paul was in Rome in a prison when he actually received some money from a courier named Epaphroditus. This letter sent back to the church was a word of thanks for their deep friendship, for the support and love that Paul received from them. He wanted these followers of Jesus in this important Roman colony to know him, and that even though he was in jail, he was still able to influence people in Caesar's palace guard to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. So he's basically saying, look, I know your life isn't all rosy and easy. I know there are hardships that we face, but life is not just hardship. It's continuing to grow in joy, no matter whether we are high standing or low standing. Hang in there. And this is the sign of maturity that Paul has. And so let's listen in as we read these powerful verses in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 16. It says this in the New International Version. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Thanks be to God for his word. We're coming out of the worst part of this pandemic in Canada, knowing full well that the waves of the Delta variant are continuing to cause much suffering and death around the world. But for us in Canada, there's going to be many enticing commercials encouraging us as Canadians to get back out there and spend. There's a lot of evidence suggesting that people are spending less and been able to save more. The rich and the middle class have been able to garner that. But we can't be unethical or mindless in our consumerism. It's no good for our lives. And we can actually experience detrimental effects to our spiritual life if we become just consumers and think consumeristically. The church that becomes consumeristic is bigger this, more that, better than the other. And I know this hasn't been Sarnia's struggle predominantly, with your orange carpet from the 80s continuing to kick around, and I just love it. Because there are other things that come up that are more valuable to invest kingdom resources in. We want to stop just thinking about producing and dispensing spiritual goods and services, that our faith can become about the product or the show or the cool factor without ever helping us to mature. And worse, it can become this white noise that prevents us from listening to the Spirit for the process of spiritual maturing that's found in becoming more like Jesus. That's the essence of the spiritual life, not running after the things that the culture says are most important. The spiritual life, or life with Jesus, is actually one of birth and growth and death and rebirth. And according to this passage, Philippians 3, verse 10 to 16, a process of maturing that never ends in this life. In the way of Jesus, which is a framework for the discipling life you may be familiar with that we've used in the Evangelical Missionary Church, it says, I've begun following Jesus and am depending on His Spirit on my journey. You can read more about that at wayofjesus.ca. But isn't this the case that we can take stock of the whole of our spiritual life? When's the last time we celebrated a story of someone struggling with their faith and clinging in the midst of doubts to reach out for help? When was the last time we celebrated the boring life of a mentor who's known to just pray daily for you or for others? Do we get excited only about the new birth, the conversion stories, or new people connecting with our church or our fellowship or our programs and initiatives? Is our love for new people and new things disproportionate? Why do we spend so much time focusing on early stuff, conversion events, the young hunger, and perhaps ignoring the perseverance through trials, the growth of that comes only from dying to self or giving up our way? And showing the way of love as death to ourselves. The power of saying I was wrong about something to someone. These are just as vital for the Christian life to grow into maturity. And so into this set of questions, Paul seems to have something to offer from a jail cell in Rome. Today, let's receive this timely word of encouragement for all the highs and lows and all the stages of life's journeys. As we continue maturing into the likeness of Christ, that maturity is becoming more like Jesus. And that's really my goal today, is that we would hear that becoming like Jesus is the heart and goal of our maturity in life and in our spiritual life, being at the center of all of life. And this leads us to be disciples together on the journey of life itself. This is a way of being in the world that has a chance to show the goodness of God. So as we looked at this text today, first encouragement that I receive from Paul is to never stop. Paul says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. This life with Christ, this reason why which Jesus took hold of our lives was to live it for Him. And he says, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. What, Paul? I mean, even from a Philippian perspective, come on, Paul, you're a legend. But he's saying even late in the game, there's more. There's more for him to progress in. This goes back to chapter 1, verse 6. He says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. We are not those who sit around and do nothing or have periods of our spiritual life where we just are content to coast by. Let's keep living life like Jesus, for Jesus, in the power of the Spirit of Jesus. You know, for many of us, we have spiritual practices, which include times of communicating with God through prayer, time with God, spent with God, serving others, but also spiritual guesting, that is, learning how to be present with others and to receive, hospitality, showing love, caring for those who live with food insecurity. Some of you in this period of time probably have found great joy in just offering note cards and prayers for neighbors, taking casseroles and sharing your gifts of hospitality that way. But your interactions with strangers out in society, driving others to appointment, praying with and for young people, it's all of utmost value. Because as you bless others, it brings joy to the Lord. Increasingly, our culture has little respect for the living God, but they can see Jesus in you and me in these big or small things. And guess what? There are no small things. So never stop. Take heart today to put your hope in God, even if your soul is downcast and you're struggling and you're frustrated that you're not seeing the kind of advancement in relationships and help in others. Reach out to God today. You know, some people that have come to mind as I've thought about this are Harvey and Renee Fretz. Renee has gone to be with the Lord, but before she went to be with Jesus, she had a six-year battle with cancer. And each week she needed to go into the hospital, into the dialysis clinic, and receive dialysis. And what was amazing in that experience is not that she became devastated or defined by her struggle. No, she would talk to the others who were receiving dialysis, and she would bring encouragement to them, and she would read scripture and ask if she could pray for them and talk about Jesus and bring the joy of the Lord. And that entire dialysis clinic experienced the joy of the Lord. So never stop. Second, love in all situations, even where we only see partially what's going on. I love that Paul says here, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. And he says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love that he is associating here not only with Jesus' resurrection, but his death, his burial. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for others, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, it says in 1 John 3:16. 1 John 2 verse 6 says, whoever claims to live in Jesus must live as Jesus did. What is it about Jesus' love? It's a self-sacrificing love. It's not clinging to power or fame or wealth or stature or importance. It's learning to love in all situations. And this is the heart of maturity, to learn how to associate with Jesus in his death, that is to lay our lives down. Maturity is like having an expanded heart, because I can't love others. You might have this experience in your life. Maybe your family has had a rough relationship with another family that goes back even generations. And maturity says, I'm going to break that cycle. There's a lot of polarizing going on in our world. Disparity between rich and poor, or treating new Canadians and refugees as less than the rest of us, or learning how to love across the aisle politically. Continuing to maybe harbor bitterness over people who've let us down. And these are maturity killers. In perhaps the best explanation of love, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, when I was a child, I acted certain ways, I thought certain ways, but when I became mature, I put away childish things. So I formerly talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but I learned to put away childhood and those kind of attitudes and behaviors. For now we only see in a reflection as a mirror, but then when Christ comes, we shall see him face to face. And so there is a way of processing maturity that love opens up for us. That we learn that love does no harm to neighbors, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law, as it says in Romans 13 verse 10. And it is this selflessness that is a demonstration of maturity. And so I'm really thankful for many brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow followers of Jesus, who have taken time in this season to think deeply about what it means to be Canadian. Coming through Canada Day, many marked not only the injustices that have been experienced with the discovery of unmarked graves of Indigenous people, but have said, as Canadians, let's care deeply about what's happened in the past, but let's not be defined by it. Let's continue to be the kind of country that God calls us to be. You know, there may be in your life some people that are harder to relate to because they're not living up to your standards or Jesus' standards revealed in the scripture. But how can you demonstrate God's radical, cross-bearing, blood-shedding love for them? You and I, toward maturity, are reminded that we never meet a person that Jesus didn't die for and pay the penalty for the sins of the whole world. And so learning to love like Jesus is learning to live like Jesus. So never stop. Continue to grow in love in all situations. And third, be engaged in the present moment, motivated by the future picture of a new heaven and a new earth that Jesus is making. Paul says this, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." And all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. He's saying, even if we disagree, God will make things clear to you. And I'm not going to spend time fighting those battles with you. But let's together keep our eyes on Jesus and let's live up to what we have already attained. Now, next week, we'll resume live worship. It's interesting during this challenging season of COVID that there are a lot of stats being worked over to predict church attendance after this pandemic is managed. I don't know how that conversation's been going in your mind. Will there be a drop-off? We don't know. But the interesting thing is we know that we can't go back and that we've learned something about the church scattered and to encourage people to live their everyday life for Jesus as a really positive thing. And think about Paul here. As he's writing these things, he's sitting in jail. His brighter days are not just the memories of hitting the road with Barnabas or the way things used to be before the Romans were in power, if he wants to go before his own life. And in fact, the very next section, Paul is clearly making a political statement by saying that Jesus is Lord in a city, in a jail cell where Caesar is Lord. We're citizens of heaven, but we're here on earth. We're aliens, but we're ambassadors, and we represent a different world and a different king. And instead of rejecting reality, we learn what it means toward maturity to become like Jesus, to accept our reality, even joyfully, and even if it brings suffering and hardship. And this honors our heavenly citizenship. Riding the highs and lows of economic success or demise, the one who joyfully receives their daily bread and shares it with others honors Jesus' lordship over all. It's a way of saying, seek first his kingdom, his justice, his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to your life as well. Jesus preached that and what we have recorded in the Sermon on the Mount. Give room for new questions and doubts from kids and friends instead of calling them backslidden and rejecting their faith. Walk with them. Make room in your heart. Think about your citizenship in heaven, and let's walk toward that future together. There are parents who sometimes have a lot of fear for their kids who reach adulthood and walk away from the church. And as a parent of young adults, I know that that's a hard season of life. We can assume that faith is gone because their questions around the church and their doubts are often a normal part of their story right now. But they're trying to make their faith their own. Would we learn how to hang in there with people and embrace the present moment of ourselves and others? Janet Hagberg and Robert Gulick, in their book, The Critical Journey, Stages of Life of Faith, present some of those stages that are familiar to us and others that we may tend to overlook, that are all a part of our spiritual journeys and our maturity. Stage one, they say, is the recognition of God, that awakening to the reality of God, and that Jesus loves them, that God cares for them, that God, the Creator, has made them in His image and for His purpose. Two is the life of discipleship, and that would be the early resonance with how God invites us to follow Jesus, and there's an excitement about learning to see that in others' lives, in the church, and there's often a commitment of life to follow Christ. What follows that is stage three, the productive life, and stage four, the journey inward. And that is we learn to serve, often get active in serving together, and we cultivate a sense of inward journey with God. But many people in their spiritual journey come to a place where they hit what's called the wall. And that wall might be a devastation in life itself, something to work through, but it might be kind of like a spiritual crisis and what appears to be a walking away of the inheritance we have in Christ. But there's life on the other side of the wall, the journey outward, and then finally the life of love that they unpack. And it is this maturity out of which the framework, the way of Jesus, was intended to be read and written. We can ride out the highs and lows together by taking this discipling posture, walking the road together, and not giving up on one another. Some of the most beautiful people that I have known and the best examples of faith and life are those who've experienced defeat, known suffering, known struggle, experienced loss. And they have an appreciation and a sensitivity and an understanding of life that fills them with compassion and gentleness and deep loving concern. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross says, beautiful people do not just happen. So to wrap up today, Paul seems to have something to offer from a jail cell in Rome to inspire you and me today toward a mature life of love in Christ Jesus. So how does the Spirit want to encourage you today? To never stop, that is, to keep going, to get your eyes off the circumstances or the difficulties and to embrace them with Christ. To learn to love in all situations. Maybe those situations have come to mind today that the Lord would prompt you to address a relationship that you've not been willing to engage. Maybe it's to stay engaged in the present, not pining for the past or not hoping just to have that future new heaven and new earth now, but to realize that Jesus is making it and we are citizens of an eternal kingdom called to live in the present moment and walk with others through all the highs and lows and all the stages of life's journeys as we continue maturing into the likeness of Christ. So becoming like Jesus, that's the heart and goal of maturing. May today the Lord prompt us to lead us to be disciples together on the journey of life. And this in itself is a way of being in the world that has a chance to show forth the goodness of God in how we respond, not react, to what's going on around us. So never stop. Love in all situations and be engaged in the present and motivated by the new heaven and new earth that Jesus is making. Let's continue to live our lives and shine for Jesus. God bless you as you continue to live for Him this year.